Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
G'day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bet365. My name is Marcus Speller. That guy Jim Campbell's here.
Hello.
That man Luke Moore's here.
All right.
And that thing Pete Donaldson's here.
I've eaten too many crisps.
Everybody.
Hello, Marcus. Hi. How are you? You all right, mate?
I'm doing very well,
Peter. You're slouching in your chair a little bit. Is your back all right?
It's absolutely fine.
Good.
Yes.
You're sparkling otherwise.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yes.
His eyes are all sparkling. He's got beautiful eyes, Marcus.
There's no need for any of this, gentlemen. Luke, are you ready?
I'm well. You've got eyes like spanners, Marcus. They tighten my nuts.
You want to start like that, do you?
Just get along with it. Just going along with the loving.
All right.
Aren't I?
A lot of loving to be had, ladies and gentlemen, especially for Tottenham Hotspur.
They won the football match.
It's a fantastic game of football. One of my favourite games of the season so far.
They figured out how to win at Wembley. It's to outscore the opposition. I knew it.
Back to basics sometimes,
indeed,
isn't it?
Jim, indeed.
I particularly enjoyed the way that Dortmund thought, well, Spurs are here for the taking. We're going for it.
Yeah.
And Spurs, to their credit, just said, well, you fill your boots, pals.
We'll catch
you on the break over and over and over and over and let me finish and over again.
Yeah.
They control the midfield a lot of the time, but Spurs were just so fizzy.
They were.
It was a
fantastic performance. The only sort of downside to the whole evening, from a neutral punter's point of view, was the level of the officiating, which I thought was very poor.
Aubameyang disallowed goal in particular. That was the goal of the game.
It's a beauty.
Should have stood. It was brilliant.
Absolute beauty.
Yeah, Dortmund. They didn't give a brilliant account of themselves, and not the only Germans that have not given a brilliant account of themselves in North London.
No.
Obviously, at the time of recording, Arsenal and Cologne hasn't finished, but there's been some unpleasant scenes. But we're talking about the pleasant scenes at Wembley, Peter.
Well, I saw some pleasant scenes in the afternoon. Everyone seemed like they're getting on a heck of a lot, to be quite frank.
Mm-hmm. So what they could have been doing between now and then that might have changed the atmosphere.
I mean, to be fair,
so
I came off the Caledonian sleeper at 7 o'clock and I saw a few Cologne fans drinking Marks & Spencer's lager. So.
Wow. Well, you are in absolutely no position to be criticising others for that.
I had one off them.
Yeah, I bet you did.
It's not really a criticism, is it? It's just an observation.
No. I was like, Marks & Spencer, nice choice.
Yeah. Marks & Spencer's Belgian lager is actually all right.
Yeah, it is.
I'll stick my neck out there and say it's okay. But going back to the Spurs game, Serge Aurier had a lovely time. That was an eye-catching performance.
What
was
about
it
that not? Dummy he did in his own box? And
fantastic.
Then he took on the, was it the winger or the fullback? He looks good. I mean, this is no revelation.
Jermaine Jennings made a really interesting point on Match of the Day 2 a few weeks ago where he said, do Spurs have the penetration against a good team without Rose and Walker at fullback?
Mm.
And he was saying, Ben Davis probably hasn't got the legs, hasn't got the pace, and Kieran Trippier, who will be fair to, probably isn't fully fit and we're not sure if he can step up to Kyle Walker's level. Serge Aurier certainly got the quality, certainly got the pace, and certainly got the engine. And I think he's a fantastic addition. Really,
also,
really enjoyable.
As we were talking about earlier, he's he's a fairly experienced Champions League player for someone as young as he is because of the time he spent at PSG. And Spurs need that, if they're going to sort of kick on to this next level. And
it's a great
getting a big win like this in Europe is how you sort of how you foster that atmosphere at a place like Wembley. I know they're only there temporarily, but the fans want to turn up remembering the good times they've had and just get into that buzz. And that's how they get rid of this hoodoo as soon as possible.
I think it was definitely a buzz around the place. People said the atmosphere was fantastic. And Pochettino, after the game, looked very pleased, but there was a touch of relief as well in his face.
I think he was pleased partly because I think he's just watched his players perform a good game plan to the letter, really. Mm. I mean, I think he knew that Dortmund were going to come onto them. And I think if you look at the, I saw a really interesting infographic today of the average positions of each player, and Spurs were so deep, but they were absolutely explosive on the break. Hands up, who was impressed with the Dortmund goalkeeper?
No hands up.
Maybe Harry Kane's hand somewhere.
Like an absolute statue for two of those goals. I mean, admittedly, the other goal probably wasn't his fault, but I mean,
the Wembley hoodoo. It got to him.
It's basically transposed itself onto that goalkeeper now, is it?
That's what you've got to do. That's what Spurs need to do. They need to get the hoodoo onto the opposition and then they'll win. That's how it works, Peter.
The hoodoo voodoo.
And Dortmund, to be fair to them, I mean, it's a tough game for them away from home, of course.
They did score a goal, you know, which was perfectly legit.
Yeah, quite. I mean, that could have been, and that was a real game-changing sort of moment, because that would have been 2-2, wouldn't it, at that point? But they had some players missing. Marco Reus, Rafael Guerrero, André Schürrle and Marcel Schmelzer.
Well, Spurs had Dele Alli missing.
They did, absolutely, yeah.
And Danny Rose still.
Yeah. So it's not a competition.
Gaza.
Sorry, it is a competition. It's a challenge. I'm not trying to win a competition with you on that.
No.
I'm just pointing it out that Dortmund were perhaps a bit under strength.
What about old Hazard Kane, eh? Oh.
Yeah.
He's wonderful, Jim, isn't he? I know this has all been said before, but just such a great modern forward. I was saying this on the telly box earlier.
Fizzer was sticking his oar in, wasn't he?
What,
Fizzer.
Phil Neville?
Yeah,
he was saying
that he thinks Harry Kane, he's basically stirring the pot, saying he thinks Harry Kane needs to move. To get into that world-class bracket. These are Fizzer's words,
I completely agree with
you.
Because I hate this.
Yeah.
Real Madrid also in that group with Dortmund and Spurs. They won 3-0 with Big Ronnie getting a double. He's back after the ban.
Can I just say, he is, and an explosive style as well. Can I just say that I watched, during the day yesterday, I watched a game in the UEFA Youth Cup. They're showing it on BT Sport. And the games, as far as I understand it, mimic what the Champions League games are. So I think when Dortmund, for example, come over, they're under whatever team come over and they play against Spurs. And I think the game was at Spurs training ground. Spurs.
On a younger plane.
Yeah, it was.
One of those electric ones.
It was a Fisher Price plane. and Spurs beat them quite handily. And of course, because of that, Real Madrid played Apoel. And Spurs beat Dortmund, I think, 3 or 4-0. They might have been 4-0. Real Madrid, 10-0.
10-0.
10-0.
That's an academy.
Wow. Future's bright.
Yeah. 8 of the goals came in the last 5 minutes.
By Cristiano Ronaldo.
By Sergio Ramos.
Ronaldo, I don't think I've ever seen a player do this before, and you know, I'm sure I'll be corrected if I'm wrong. But he disagreed with the goal line technology system, didn't he?
He did.
He wasn't having it. I love that so much.
Well, you've got it wrong. Play it again.
How many cameras have you got? Yeah. Not better than my eyes.
Just shouting at Hawkeye or whatever they call it. Have you ever played the game?
Yeah.
You're a bloody hawk, mate. Yeah.
You're an armchair spectator.
Do you know what VAR stands for? Vilifying against Ronaldo.
Yes.
Unacceptable.
It has to be, you know. And it's a great shame for old Ronnie, but he did get 2 goals. Sergio Ramos scored an overhead kick. It wasn't the most aesthetically pleasing overhead kick, but it's still an overhead kick.
I mean, they're all overhead kicks, aren't they?
He's a centre-half.
The man can't go for a pint of milk without getting some sort of headline.
Yeah.
he's just box office, whatever he does.
He's a wonderful player.
Well, did you see him in Top Gun?
Yeah. He was
literally box office.
Well, he scored an overhead kick from open play after 61 minutes, and he's a centre-half. Yeah. They're only 2-0 up. Okay, I'm against much poorer opposition.
He gets forward a lot, though, doesn't he?
But from open play, with half an hour left. I can understand it was last 5 minutes, and go and have a run up there.
But do you not think...
charging forward.
You'd expect Real Madrid to win this group, right?
Mm. You would.
And so that's why the Spurs result against Dortmund is so important, because people are rightly putting this question mark, for whatever reason, over Spurs' head, the fact that they're going to be playing in a home away from home this season. So for them to get such a convincing win at home straight off the bat is really important.
This was a crucial win
for them. And against their realistic rival for second as well.
Mm. And yeah, absolutely, and that's what I mean. They're playing Swansea this weekend.
They are.
You'd fancy them to do the business against them as well, especially after what's happened midweek.
Certainly right, yeah. And we can't gloss over the fact that Marco Asensio didn't play because he got an infected pimple on his leg his legs.
Yeah.
But it's quite standard practice for Iberian players to shave their legs due to massages and whatnot. And also, I think that just gives a nice breeze down there in the warm summer sun.
Do you fancy a bit of that, Marcus? Because that would be a 3-day job. Yeah,
for the little hairy
boy. That'd be like Artexing the biggest bungalow ceiling.
Pete, that would be like
sell it off to make wigs.
That'd be Marcus' entire pre-season.
Get rid of it.
And it'd be back in a day.
How many goals have you ever scored, mate?
Yeah.
Little hairy boy.
It's never held me back.
No,
it
hasn't.
Never held me back at all. But some English players said that they would often shave around their ankles, because when they're strapping up their ankles, if you whip the tape off. Hard man like me never needs to strap up anything, Peter.
Mm. What does that even mean,
Marcus? Why is it aimed at you? That's
Why is he licking his lips? Stop it. Stop it and move on.
It just keeps getting better and better.
I'm doing a Neville. Oh.
How about this, eh? Speaking of Spurs, if you will, one of their former sons, who's now employed in China, was having some trouble in the Champions League, the Asia Champions League. Shanghai SIPG coach Andrei Vyshbosh has accused Wang Xu Evergrande of causing car accidents to delay their team bus before their quarterfinal match.
Yeah, that's one of the most amazing conspiracy theories I've ever heard in football.
Yeah, but he has evidence to back this up. If you saw some of the photos that were taken, they went to play. They were 4-0 up from the first leg. And if you look at some of the photos that I think they were like Instagramming or tweeting, it looks like the same cars were involved in certain incidents in front of this bus.
It's like banger racing just happening on the motorway.
Not only that, an article I read said there have been accusations of this happening in the past, that Wang Xu have engineered traffic problems in order to slow down the buses of rival teams. And Andre Villas-Boas' team, obviously, they eventually were able to go through anyway, despite, against all the odds, just about. But he was not holding back in his press conference. He said, and these are the words he actually used, Evergrande manipulate the AFC and they can do whatever they want.
It's big, isn't it?
It's big words.
I think China might be where it's at.
It is. It really is.
Certainly with this short content.
The thing is with Villas-Boas, the accusations he's making, when you look at the evidence, you can understand.
Oh, yeah, I'm kind of on the side. It's not the weirdest thing I've heard.
But you know, it nearly worked for Wang Xu Evergrande, because they were 4-0 down for the first leg and won 4-0 after the 90 minutes. Mm. Went into extra time and it ended 5-5 after extra time. Obviously, they don't have away goals. Shanghai had two men sent off, which Vyshbosh seemed to be rather annoyed about. But they won. They won 5-4 on penalties. So Vyshbosh's team did get through to the semi-finals. It was incredible, though.
What does Big Phil think about all this?
Well, Big Phil Scolari manages Evergrande, doesn't he?
They're 8 points clear at the top of the league as well, by the way.
They're having a lovely time at the top of the league. He claimed that in the first leg, the dressing room, the away dressing room's air conditioning unit was bust, so it was like a sauna in there. The old Barry Fry.
Stuff.
Yeah. Everyone's at it.
Hey! Yeah.
I think endangering the lives of people on motorways is a little bit more serious, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but the Big Phil moustache, you don't want that, Wilton, do you?
Yeah, no. You certainly wouldn't.
And imagine if it was done in the home dressing room. Oh, AVB's voice. He moved out there for the humidity. Yeah.
The thing is, if it goes...
Has it been in a dry, arid sauna?
It's true, but if it goes like a sauna and it's very steamy, it depends what we're talking about here. If it's a dry sauna, fair enough, but if it's like a steam room...
Well, he literally said sauna.
Okay, right, because if it was a steam room, it'd put a lot of volume in Phil's moustache, wouldn't it? Get quite frizzy, wouldn't it?
Actually, that would be a great tactic, wouldn't it? That the away dressing room just is a sauna.
Like Fellaini just becomes a big ball of hair. Just turn up the humidity.
Barry Fry would be in favour of that. I mean, he used to get up to all sorts of antics back in the day.
He did turn the heating off in the away dressing room.
That's not.
That would make it
freezing in the winter, and then pump it right up in the summer and stuff.
Did we ever cover that story when Big Phil was spotted in Derry, like on a bus?
I don't think so.
His son lives
Phil
and
Scolari.
Works. Yeah, Phil Scolari. His son lives and works in Derry.
Ireland.
Yeah, in Derry. And he was on a bus from someplace to Derry. And like, this bloke was just sat next to him and he went, sorry, are you Phil Scolari?
I know you're a journeyman, but the premiership in this country, I didn't think you'd end up here.
He just did a random bus from Derry to Belfast. Really very strange. Ooh. It was back in like January. I don't know why we didn't... I'd sort of read it a little bit later. I was thinking, we must have covered that. I must have been off that week. Because we would have devoted 3 weeks to that.
Yeah, we did cover it, but you were in Derry.
Following Phil around.
Oh, wonderful. But it's good to have a high-profile bust-up, get the Chinese League a bit more PR. Oh, no, it's the Champions League, of course.
Do you think we'll see a bust-up between Pochettino and Paul Clement this weekend?
Probably not.
No, they're both quite mild-mannered, really, aren't they?
Quite mature, level-headed chaps.
Would you guys be curious as to see how Renato Sanchez gets on against Spurs? Because he looked very, very short of match fitness against Newcastle, didn't he?
There's a lot of expected from Sanchez, understandably so. Mm. I think playing for Swansea, it could be one of those ones where it reinvigorates his career. Because he will have time. The expectation won't be there every week. I know people are looking at him now. But if he can get some good performances under his belt, then his stock can go higher. I don't think he'll go back to Bayern and stay there for very long.
I wonder if... And I don't disagree with any of that. I wonder if Swansea have slipped under the radar so far this season is the same way that Bournemouth have. I mean, Bournemouth haven't picked up a single point.
Yeah.
And, and the reason for that is this Crystal Palace story that everyone's talking about. If you look at Swansea... Yeah, true. But at least West Ham have picked up a win now. I know Swansea beat Palace earlier in the season, but they've not had a great start. And then don't know, like, they can score a huge amount of goals. And they've got two so far in the league. If you look at their options, so you've got Wilfred Bonny, who hasn't scored goals for ages. Tammy Abraham is 19 years old. AU never really scores in any volume either throughout his career. Sigurdsson was the guy creating all the chances, and he's gone. Llorente's also gone. So you do what you sort of fear for them a little.
I mean, yeah,
bit.
He does have the old goal in him, but he's not stepping up at the moment. Well,
they've already attempted the fewest shots in the league as well. Right. So this is borne out by the stats.
And so if you get to sort of the second half, if we get to the second half of the season, assuming they don't strengthen in January, which I know they might do, it's not easy for a club like Swansea to find a goal scorer anyway. But if they don't strengthen in January, would you be happy relying on a 19 or 20 year old Tammy Abraham and Andre Ayew to score you goals and Wilfred Bonny?
Yeah, knackered Wilfred Bonny.
Exactly, and who's had bad injuries as well. It's worrying for them.
I know what you mean, but there's still a lot of football to be played from now until January. Yeah. But I think with Sanchez, if he can really inspire that side and really fulfil even just a bit of his potential while he's there, he could be a great driving force. He's that type of player. Engine, he's got a bit of
he could
skill.
Sort of grab more by the scruff of the neck.
Yeah, I know that's a big ask for a guy who I don't know if he even speaks English. It's obviously a very different to league to what he's played in before, although you would imagine with his attributes he'll be okay. So it is a big ask, but a player like that who you know, not that long ago seemed to have the world at his feet.
Yeah.
Could be this is a great opportunity for him to do that.
Well, Bet365 make Swansea a 14-1 shot to pull off an upset and beat Spurs at Wembley on Saturday evening. So £10 will return £150, including stake.
Yeah, there we are. We've mentioned a bust up. We'll mention another one that happened on the touchline. It was between Jurgen Klopp and Sevilla boss Eduardo Berizzo. He was sent to the stands, and Klopp said after the match they sorted it out, and he said, "The manager of Sevilla asked me to come into the dressing room. He wanted to explain the situation around his red card, whatever."
Whatever.
Yeah. His explanation is really bizarre, though. Have you seen what it is?
Because he got a yellow... Did he get a yellow for throwing... No, he got told off, didn't he, by the ref for throwing the ball away.
It's a big regret of mine. They don't dish out actual cards to managers.
Yeah,
they should do that.
Agree. Yeah. Absolutely.
They've got that in the pocket, literally.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Why not do it?
Yeah. I agree with you.
So he claimed that he threw the ball away once and then he threw it away a second time, which is when he got sent to the stands. And he claimed that the second time he did it to try and make up for doing it the first time as a sort of sporting gesture. Now, am I being thick?
Yeah.
Or like...
When I read this earlier, now, believe it or not, people listening at home, there are many, many things that pass me by that I can't get my head around. I'm usually related to the laws of the game. But I read this about four times. I'm exactly the same way.
Yeah.
I came to the conclusion it's either a mistranslation or he is a man we should be keeping an eye on.
Yeah. Or he was throwing it away because the ball boy had it, or he was throwing away a ball from his team. I just can't figure it out, really.
Confusing.
Well, we'll have to solve it another time. Manchester City had a great win away in Feyenoord in the Champions League.
Did.
I mean, really did. People talking up Feyenoord, understandably so. But Man City put them to the sword. They had two goals scored by John Stones, which was quite pleasing.
I mean,
the same goal.
City were absolutely great. I mean, you know, Feyenoord at top of the Eredivisie. They beat United in the Europa League last season, did they not? They had a good result. Yeah, at home, they had a good result against United. City absolutely dominated the game. I wasn't really impressed with Feyenoord at all. I mean, defensively, they're absolutely atrocious. And City could have been 3-0 up after about 10 minutes.
I think with Man City, they've got that performance in them. Manchester City, against anybody this season, within reason, could turn up and just wipe the floor with them. But on the other hand, and this perhaps leads us on to Watford, you could also see them labouring to wins, like we saw against Bournemouth. Bournemouth haven't picked up a point. I don't think Bournemouth have been terrible. I don't think it's crisis time. It's still Eddie Howe. I think that's the reason. And you would trust in Howe to get his team going again. But Manchester City, I think, will be great entertainment value, obviously because of their attacking lineup. But because if they do beat sides, they'll do it in a very entertaining way. Yeah. And of course, if they're having one of those games where it's not quite going for them, then it'll be quite competitive.
I think it's hard to because I was reading all the literature up until towards this game midweek against Feyenoord was that this Feyenoord game was a potential banana skin for City. I mean, City have looked vulnerable potentially defensively. Feyenoord know what they're about. Well drilled team, and like I say, they're top of their domestic league at the moment, and they just couldn't get into the game. City just denied them it. City essentially overpowered them with all the quality they've got. And it was very difficult for me, which is not usually surprising, I suppose, to try and work out the way Guardiola was playing. Because he seemed to play four and then the one in front of the four. And he managed to fit in David Silva and Bernardo Silva into the team. Mm. It looked like he was playing further forward, but just behind Aguero and Jesus. And they completely dominated. Final just couldn't deal with it.
Silver service.
Silver service, mate, no, absolutely. But you're right, they play against Watford, they go to Vicarage Road this weekend. And I've tried to say this a couple of times on the show already this season. Watford, for me, are slipping under the radar and they are a definite potential banana skin for City.
Do you think that we will be calling Vicarage Road a fortress? a fortress in a few months.
One thing I do know from the post-match with Pep Guardiola, the way he talks about Kevin De Bruyne, it's like Coleridge. He speaks so eloquently about how much he really loves Kevin De Bruyne. Mm-hmm. I think he might have genuinely fallen in love with him.
But
he's got his heart.
But he's fallen in love with John Stones.
Yeah, well,
and his mistakes. He said that, didn't he? I just love this player.
Yeah, but he said, I love this player and his mistakes.
Yeah, I accept him with all his faults.
Can a very modern love tale exist between a Spanish man and a ghost?
Indeed. Exactly.
Will modern society accept it?
We'll keep an eye on it.
I think modern society is going to have to. Yeah, if they win the league and De Bruyne's player of the season, then...
He's a fantastic player, De Bruyne. He really is a fantastic player. But going back to Watford, I mean, I really rate Marco Silva as a coach, and I think we all understand.
He's great, yeah.
We all do as well. Yeah. But if you look at what Watford have done so far this season, the opening day, which we said before, is a bit of a lottery. They got a good, creditable high-scoring draw against Liverpool. Mm.
Which they fought their way back into very impressively.
And they've had two away wins, which went very well, obviously. But the one sort of blot on their copybook at first glance is this home draw 0-0 with Brighton. But they had Miguel Britos sent off very early on.
Yeah, they gave us a moment to remember.
They did. Well, Britos certainly did.
Yeah. Outrageous sending off, if I remember rightly.
Referee was all over the place. and that was about 25 minutes in, and Silva shuffled the pack and just dug in. They got a 0-0 draw out of that, which I thought was very impressive at the time. Mm-hmm. This is their first opportunity this weekend to really make a statement. They're up in I know it's only September or whatever, but they're in fourth in the league already. They're only 2 points off the top. If they beat Man City, they'll overhaul them. I don't think it's out of the question. I genuinely don't.
It's amazing, isn't it, if they beat Manchester City? I know it's a big ask.
I do think it's a big ask. I think it might be a stretch too far for them. But Silva has done very well to hit the ground running, and also Mauri Zarate and Roberto Pereira are also back from injury soon, which is
it's a plus.
They're still missing some decent players.
I would like to suggest that if Marco Silva doesn't get a spectacular offer from elsewhere, which he could this season,
you think he might do before the end of the season?
I'm saying if he doesn't and he's at Watford for the whole season, then he could lead them to their highest Premier League finish. I'm saying, which is 13th, by the way, which is only in 2016. But you have to go way back to 1987, I think it is, for a top half finish in England's top flight for Watford.
Okay, so that first stat is a Premier League only stat. Basically.
Exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
Right.
So I think we're really talking up Watford.
Well, you can still get 100-1 on Watford busting their way into the top four this season with Bet365. It's a competitive league, but the precedent has been set with Leicester, of course. So who knows? £10 on that will return us £1,010, including stake on with Bet365.
Will Elton John be writing a song for Watford?
Hello, England's Rose. Yeah, imagine if we did
Hello England's Hornet.
Imagine if we did a version of Candle in the Wind called Hornet in the Wind. Watford got into the top four in the Premier League.
I was thinking if Watford got into the top four and they were doing quite well and they wanted to sign a fullback, it would be Hello
Pun
Danny
incoming.
Rose.
Danny Rose, yeah.
Hornet by the Harlequin, maybe. Yeah.
Imagine if they just signed the lower league Danny Rose, because there is a player in the lower league called Danny Rose.
Yeah, that's fair.
Imagine if they signed him just for the final game of the season, so when they'd already won the league. Mm. So Elton John could wheel the grand piano on and say, "Hello, Danny Rose."
That well, they
brilliant.
Could sign him and then get rid of him.
Is that too elaborate? Goodbye, Danny.
Candle in Danny Blind. Anyone? No?
That's a completely different type of song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bit Morrissey, isn't it?
Hornet in the Wind.
Oh, no, there's flowers, not candle. Yeah. Shut up.
Peter, let's have some correspondence.
All right, let's have some correspondence. The mailbag was once again just packed with email, so thank you very much for those of you who got involved. short@thefootballramble.com if you would like to say hello. Kicking off.
Ooh.
I'm calling this section basically emails I wouldn't usually read out.
Oh, good.
But whatever reason, I'm tired. I slept on a train the last 2 days on the Caledonian aforementioned sleeper service. Basically, I'm reading out a couple that I wouldn't usually.
It's a good job you managed to sort yourself out of bed this time, because last time we were up in Glasgow, you had a colossal, and I do mean colossal, tantrum about not getting a bed on the sleeper train home.
What's the point in getting a sleeper train if you just have a seat?
Can't sleep on it. It's just a train.
It's just a train.
But as I said before, Pete had a tantrum. He didn't turn up for the train, so I got his seat and mine, so I essentially got an ersatz bed.
Yeah, but I got a bed because I was on the Megabus.
Gold.
And I bought Megabus Gold. And
Mega bed.
Me and you were going to have a lovely romantic bed, weren't we?
Got a free muffin, you didn't tell me that. I would have come with you.
You'd have chased the bus down the motorway. Yeah. Muffin, muff, 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 muff.
And then who had the tantrum when he found out that muffin?
You were very excited about the prospect, as I remember, Luke. You were sort of viewing it like you were Louis Theroux.
I know.
Sort of going on this weird weekend with
what's Pete like when he's asleep. Yeah.
One tantrum cancelled the other tantrum out. Let's agree on that.
Yeah. So yes, this email correspondence section is basically emails that I wouldn't usually read out. Ed and Oxford got in touch. Hello, gang. I'm the guy who got the tattoo of the young Alan Shearer reluctantly eating a nectarine.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Now,
my mate was in a band called Nectarine. Unrelated.
Massively unrelated. Yeah. And this Sunday, the 7th of September, my partner is rollerblading the length of the Bakerloo line. Basically, we never usually read these sort of things out because we get a lot of charitable kind of donation requests and stuff like that.
And we hate it, don't we?
But we can't sort of go for one when there's a whole heap of other people getting involved. So we don't normally do this, and we're not going to do it again. Let's make it very clear. But my partner's rollerblading the length of the Bakerloo line covered in marmalade. She's performing this solemn task to raise money for an early years educational project in a refugee camp in Athens. It's on justgiving.com/crowdfunding Marmablade. Do you see what they've done
Marmablade.
There? But the thing that got me was, I was thinking, no, I don't remember you being the guy who had a tattoo of a young Alan Shearer reluctantly eating a nectarine. So what I did was I searched his email address in our email server.
Right, okay.
And that is the picture of him.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah. Can you see the Alan
really,
Shearer
it
eating?
It doesn't really look like Alan Shearer.
I think it's a pretty good representation.
I feel he's captured the reluctant tattoo artist there. Which
he's
is quite
a young
hard.
Alan Shearer eating a nectarine.
Right.
I need that back marker. Stop licking it. And basically, the email that went with it, and I think this is the reason why I didn't read out the email. Hi, guys. Hope you're all well. I'm more of a Football Weekly kind of guy, so I've never emailed you before.
Oh, well, they've gone to rat shit now, so the joke's on him.
How'd that fucking work out, Ed in Oxford? Yeah. And he appends a picture of his tattoo of a young Alan Shearer reluctantly eating a nectarine.
Pete, I remember the meeting we had about this email, and you stamped your foot, literally put your foot down and said, if anyone's going to be known for shit tattoos on this show, it's going to be me. Thank you very much.
That's Ed in Oxford.
Do you remember? Don't you, Marcus?
It was another tantrum.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
thanks, Ed in Oxford.
Thanks, Ed in Oxford, and good luck with your girlfriend's Bakerloo Line Marmalade Fest.
Good luck with the marmalade.
Good luck with the marmalade. Okay. Next in my list of emails we don't normally read out, from William Nutt.
Okay.
The founder and chief strategist of Nutt, NUTT.
Right.
Hey.
Is that not the National Union of Teachers?
No. No, I'll tell you exactly what it is.
Okay.
Hey. No name, just hey.
Yeah.
I'm loving the Football Rambles coverage of this young NFL season. This year is especially exciting for my boutique digital agency, as we're rolling out a website that visually compares team stats before each matchup. The project's reception thus far has been overwhelmingly positive, and to help get the word out, we're assembling a network of promotional partners. Of course, we'd be thrilled for the Football Rambles to get among them and be foremost.
Yeah. By the way, when you say the emails that you wouldn't normally read out, you've just clicked on the spam
folder. Yeah, the spam folder, isn't it? Yeah.
The arrangements are informal and simple. In return for featuring the Football Ramble prominently as a partner on the project, we'd simply ask that you share our style with your audiences.
No.
Let me be brief, William. We are beside ourselves to have the opportunity to give our unparalleled coverage of this young NFL season.
What did you,
I'm well up for this.
What did you reply?
I replied that.
Oh, okay.
So we're getting involved, guys. Oh, we are going to be giving the people the NFL news they need.
Absolutely.
You are going to be so popular this week, Pete. Both inside and outside the Ramble.
Matt Carlton, finally for now. After listening to this week's review show, I heard Marcus refer to the Championship as the English League. You know what's coming, Marcus. You know what's coming.
I don't.
I'll back you up on this, Marcus.
As there are... Matt Carlton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As there are only five English managers in the Premier League, this got me thinking. Last year's Championship champions were Newcastle, whose manager was Spanish, Rafa Benitez. Mm-hmm. Runners-up, obviously, the Rob Brighton, whose manager is Irish, Chris Hughton.
Oh, right, he was born like Forest Hill or something.
Who did he play for?
The
90s were weird for that team.
Eddie Howe's never won.
Huddersfield via the playoffs with their American-German David Wagner in charge. charge. This year, almost half of the teams are managed by foreign managers.
It's petty, isn't it?
Well, the English League is actually League One because last year's promoted clubs included Sheffield United, Bolton, Scunthorpe, by Wilder, Parkinson and Harris, all fine gentlemen from England.
Yeah.
Maybe if we field an England 11 from League One, we may be elevated to the dizzy heights of beating teams like Iceland in next year's World Cup.
I think, Matt, you're going to look back on that in years to come as a colossal waste of everyone's time.
But do enjoy the rest of the season and our unparalleled coverage of NFL.
Just remember which...
Sure at thefootballramble.com.
Just remember which pile that email was in.
Gridiron at thefootballramble.com. Hey, have you not got any looking forward to the weekend? I know you have, because I did them for you. So.
Probably people chucking around the old pigskin, I'd wager. Yeah. go on, who's tailgating who?
I'll give you the whole nine yards, Marcus. Simon Claude! This is what people are looking forward to at the weekend. Simon Claude, who is looking forward to waking up in Pete Donaldson's arms on Saturday morning after the live show.
Ooh.
Well, that's prescient.
Tomorrow night, Friday night, the 15th. You're going to be at King's Place. Come along. There's still tickets available.
King's Place. Football Ramble.
It's in London, as we rarely mention.
It's in London, it's King's Cross tomorrow, and I had a checklist of things I needed to remember. Put them all in a carrier bag. They're all disgusting, so come down.
Can we give people a little sort of taster of the stuff you've had to buy ahead of this show?
We want people to come.
I had to give a wig a trim.
There we go.
Put it that way.
Pete's had to modify a wig.
I'm not talking about my pubes. So my pubes will not be seen.
I know there's some sort of waistcoat involved.
Right, okay, let's
just
move on.
He's already said his pubes.
Hell.
You can't say the other thing because it could be incriminating.
Dan Parry.
Hang on, I thought you said we're done.
No, this is looking ahead to the weekend.
Oh, right, okay, go on, far away then. Please continue.
Do you need a little iPad like the NFL guys?
Marcus.
Playbook.
You may continue.
Marcus, you're the host.
I know, and I'm telling him to continue.
Rein me in. Khaled Gale, I'm just interested to see if Rafa Benitez isn't able to attend Newcastle game versus Stoke. Will Mark Hughes still be annoyed at the lack of a handshake?
He'll be straight in the car to the Wirral. Straight in the car to the Wirral, 100 miles an hour.
Driving with one hand, just holding out the handshake the whole way.
Not doing that.
He runs into the hospital ward, not even wiping his hand with alcohol gel. Instantly gets a staph infection.
Shaking the hand of every doctor on the way in.
Dan Parry's looking forward to Rooney scoring a consolation overhead kick in a 6-1 defeat, celebrated by a packed Old Trafford, excluding De Gea. And also suburban Gunnar Chris says, check at left wing back against at Arsenal and them adopting a flying V formation with Kolasinac as the blunt instrument at the head against Chelsea.
Well, they'll not.
There we are. It's going to be a fun weekend, guys.
Are you finished, sir?
I am finished. After the Cologne incident, as it will forever be longer known, I think that might be possible. You never know.
It might well be. We're going to talk about Roy Hodgson and Arsene Wenger after this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If I had 99 more England caps, I'd have had 100.
I'm worried that the way you said that was like they're having some sort of illicit affair, Roy Hodgson and Arsene Wenger, but we've got no evidence to suggest that, have we?
No.
Never put it out there.
Don't we?
Okay.
Evidence is not happening.
It's true, yeah.
Before we talk about that, strange things are happening in the Midlands of this fine country. Not long after Mark Hamill accidentally became a Wolves fan, what happened? Original Jackson 5 member Tito Jackson was spotted at the Molyneux. When I say spotted, he was on the pitch, presented in front of the fans.
They are absolutely killing the 1970s.
And can I just say, because you will get emails, it's Molyneux, not the Molyneux.
Sorry, yeah.
I'm just saving your skin.
I appreciate that. But it is an English stadium, despite the name.
Tito famously fathered, sired, if you will, all three members of 3T. Tito's Todger. They were all made by that.
I knew they were Michael Jackson's nephews, but I wasn't sure which Jackson brother it was.
Okay. He's promoting his album Tito Time. I listened to it a little bit, and to be quite frank, it was in full contravention of my civil rights. It was disgusting. It was a terrible, terrible
album. Frank Covert is wearing one of those baggy white tees that younger gentlemen wear, and he is too old to wear it.
I'm fairly certain LaToya Jackson did a covers album called He's My Brother.
Oh, did she?
Which is a
wonderful
cover
of Michael Jackson songs?
No, just of like famous songs.
Oh,
The title was He's My Brother. I feel like if you're going to do that, be honest about it. Yeah. She has.
Jim, it's a tribute. She's not cashing in, for crying out.
Yeah. It's a touching tribute.
Yeah. Well, Tito, when he was presented to the fans on the pitch, why would you present him to the fans? Yeah. That's what I don't know. He said, this is my first soccer match. I've been told all about Wolves, so I'm so excited.
Why are the Wolves so intent on introducing celebrities to football?
I don't know, but I quite like this. He's been told all about Wolves. Remember Walter Zenger when he went there and said, in Italy, like they're one of the biggest teams.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, Wolves have got a very good international PR machine going on.
But, you know, I think this is a really rich seam to mine. I think we should encourage our listeners to get in touch with the most incongruous presentations of famous people at ground.
Okay,
because
yeah.
I think there's quite a lot of them.
Yeah. Mm.
And because you'll get quite a famous one will be, I don't know, I'm fairly sure George Groves, the super middleweight boxer champion at the moment, who is a really keen Chelsea fan. He wears the Chelsea badge on his shorts. I'm fairly sure he's been paraded at Stamford Bridge. Carl Froch has been paraded at Nottingham Forest. Mm-hmm. That's not really that incongruous, though, is it? Because he's another sportsman and he's proud for the city and all the rest of it.
Look, were you paraded at Portsmouth?
I never have been. And that's that. You get into the crux of my issue there. If you are listening,
I'd take Hartlepool.
You would.
Just put it out there.
You would probably be one of the best ones I've had.
You in the canoe man now?
You in the canoe man?
The most famous canoeist in the world.
Yeah. Carrying his canoe around the pitch.
Marcus, I can hear the introduction now.
He'd do his own introduction.
Sad to announce, Jeff Stirling genuinely was not available, but instead...
And both Linegan brothers.
Here's Mr. Pete Donaldson standing behind Brian Honour.
I'd be honoured. He's got lovely calves. As I wrote in the Football Ramble book, I was obsessed with them for a very long time.
Like to be honoured.
Did he shave them?
He's not the sort of guy who shaved his calves, Brian Honour. No way.
Brian Honour.
Yeah. No, did he have calves like John Hartson?
No, nobody's got calves like John Hartson.
True enough.
No, horses don't have calves like John Hartson.
John Hartson's calves are genuine. No, they don't really. They've got skin.
I presume they're... I don't know.
They don't know.
You think they're hiding somewhere else?
Big animal I could think of.
Do you think they're hiding their calves under a bushel, Jim? Do you think they're not wearing their calves lightly?
Imagine if horses shaved their calves.
Let us know, listeners. Is horse's calf bigger than a man's?
Could you attach...
I think it probably is.
...razors to hooves?
I mean, can I just say...
Because they're all scratching themselves, aren't they?
You're going off on one and it's not for the microphone.
Listeners are welcome to email in. I already know they haven't, but listeners are welcome to email in to confirm it. But I've completely lost my train of thought now.
Should we do a bit on NFL?
John Hartson's calves, thank you, Marcus, have, according to a friend of ours, they are so big, they said that the bloke said they made him physically feel sick. Like, they say, look like someone had shoved a hock of ham under some skin. So that's a measure. Nice. I'll tell you what, John Hartson, if you're listening, send us another picture of your calves. I'd love to know if they're still at that level.
Stand next to a horse when you do it as well.
Crystal Palace have got their Croydon boy, Roy Hodgson.
I've just realised that horses do have calves, don't they?
They do have them. They're just not that big, are they?
No, I mean baby horses. They've probably got the biggest calves. Pound for pound, probably the biggest calves.
You're
right,
Pete, I was correct.
No, the joke's on you, because a baby horse is a foal. It's a cow. That's
cow,
a
cow, mate, cow.
Oh, is it cow? Calves. Yeah. So I hate those ones. Yeah. I hate goats. I hate the difference between goats and sheep.
Why do you hate goats?
I would think goats would be right up your street. He hates the difference. So you hate the difference between goats and sheep.
Why can't they always get along?
What does that mean?
Why can't sheep climb on fjords?
Marcus,
not fjords.
Do we want to talk about Roy Hodgson or not?
Can you do something here?
What's he doing to a fjord and a dam?
He's, right, that's enough.
Marcus, control, move on.
I'm going to get you to turn your own microphone off in a minute. Roy Hodgson's gone to Palace. It's lovely. It was his boyhood club. He remembers watching Palace back in the day when he was wearing short trousers.
Well, he called it his Royhood.
Exactly.
He's doing it to spite Liverpool.
Yeah, he is.
Do you know, I read something somewhere that Roy Hodgson's father was an Everton fan.
All right, that's a lifelong campaign.
It's another
trolling dig. That fire, which will never dim anyway, has now got more fuel to it.
Oh dear, Ray Lewington's been named his assistant, of course.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, consistency.
Yeah, you've got
it's
to
what
have,
they need.
You take one, you've got to take the other.
Ryan Rea.
And I think this is a great point.
A lot's been made of his age, and he's on a 2-year contract, so he'd be 72 when the contract's finished if he sees it out. Yeah. I mean, that's not that old these days, is it? I mean, come on.
How old was Dick Advocaat when he put Sunderland to the sod? You
know, he wasn't as old as that. He was still not as old as that.
I saw a list the other day of other old managers. There's been a few around that sort of age.
Yeah.
But I agree with
Ferguson
you,
Ferguson was managed at 71,
yeah,
wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
Well, Wenger's late 60s.
Yeah,
he just looks very good,
Marcus. I think you're right. Good. If you look at the sort of profile of club that Hodgson's been successful at, as we said before, I mean, this is a perfect appointment for him.
Yeah,
because providing he's still got the sort of skill set that you'd hope he has,
I think he's got the passion already. There's reports about him being on the training ground where he does most of his best work. Just to back up the comment about his age, he is the oldest man to be appointed as a permanent manager in the Premier League. Mm.
Yeah, the others admittedly have grown into that age, because obviously Ferguson served for a very long time as an example. But even so, I don't think that's necessarily that old these days.
I think with Hodgson, you know what you're going to get with him. And go on, Jim.
What I was going to say is what he brings is organisation, isn't it? If you hear about, he just drills things on the pitch over and over and over again, and they'll do maybe 10 different scenarios, so the players pretty much always know where they're supposed to be, what they're supposed to be doing. And I think we all agree Palace have players who are above what they're showing at the moment. You look at players like Andros Townsend.
He loves Townsend,
obviously.
As well.
Obviously, yeah. Zaha, and I mean, even players like Jason Puncheon, they're very, very direct. Like, I think that they could thrive under a system where they always know what they're doing, and it's comfortable.
I think that's what they need. They need, with Frank de Boer. I understand why Palace got him in. As we said before, a well-known broadcaster said, if you go for an English or British manager, then it's seen as a little bit of a boring appointment, or not boring, but not a progressive one. Yeah. And Frank de Boer, if he could have got his style, but he's gone. But when all said and done, but Palace, I think Roy Hodgson coming in there is a good appointment. And some people may say, oh, what about England or what about Liverpool? Clearly, Hodgson's level is Palace, Fulham, West Brom.
Mm.
He Liverpool is a very, very tough place, and he didn't cut the mustard there. That's obvious. And even with England, I think with Hodgson, when you give him a good group of players, and you say, right, go on and go and beat teams. Do you know what I mean? Like, go and manage a big club where you're expected to win every week, or an England side, you're at least expected to get to, say, the quarterfinals and beat, not comfortably, but beat the opposition like Slovakia and Russia and so on. He comes unstuck there. He's more of maybe kind of restrict the opposition playing kind of manager. Hodgson, actually, his best tournament for England probably was 2012.
When he first took over.
When he first took over, because as soon as he got in, he thought, right, I've only got a matter of weeks to work with the players.
Yeah.
I'll have to set up like I normally set up, like he did with, say, Fulham when they had that amazing Europa League run. And it kind of worked. The difference is, with England, England have the potential, one could argue, let's not get in that too much, that they should go and express themselves anymore. And obviously they had that awful game against Italy, but Italy didn't score in 120 minutes.
True, and I mean, Wilfred Zaha is injured, by the way. He's got quite a bad injury at the moment. I don't know when he's back. But Crystal Palace, when we saw them play in Frank de Boer's final game in charge,
much better.
Yeah, it wasn't like that. This is a team that needs stripping down and rebuilding from scratch.
I mean, Don Ball's unlucky, because if they'd got a draw there or even a win, really, which they should have done, football's fine margins, isn't it?
But did that not look like somebody who doesn't really know football looking at the match and going, "Well, we didn't win," and making the decision? And
well, you wonder whether he's got pressure. If Steve Parish has had pressure from elsewhere, because obviously there are American owners and all that sort of stuff.
Because if you're looking for green shoots, that match was green shoots.
But
for
the problem for we won't know about De Boer, will we? Unless he gets another job in England and is given another go. But some people will say, no, he had a chance. Palace are in a bad situation, and someone like Hodgson, as I think Luke said before, when they've been managed under, say, Sam Allardyce, then Hodgson comes in. It's a similar type.
Do you know what? I almost made this bet of the week, but I didn't, because we'll see. I'll tell you why later. But I think Crystal Palace will beat Southampton at the weekend. I think it's a good start for him. They've not been that good, Southampton. There's going to be a feel good factor around the place, I would imagine. The players are going to know exactly what they're doing, as you guys have said. And I think it's a nice place to start, which is just as well, because as we've mentioned before, they've got a few hard games after this. They go to United, they go to City.
This is must win
for Chelsea. It really is. Yeah. They're 13-10 with Bet365 to be relegated this season, though, Crystal Palace, even with Big Roy in charge. £10 will return £23, including stake. So come on, Liverpool fans, if he's as bad as you say he is, stick your money where your mouth is.
Pete, there's a bit of jeopardy for you here as well, because if Palace fail to score before the 78th minute, they'll break the Premier League record for longest time taken by a team to score a goal in a season, which is held by Newcastle.
Yay.
438 minutes in 2005-06, so you probably want to hang on to that.
Leave it lit, guys.
God, Pete, another record down the Swanee, eh?
Yeah.
Oh dear. Archer might be interested in signing Jack Wilshere in January. Get that band back together.
Well, Bojack Wilshere.
He hasn't played for under Hodgson before though, has he?
Well, for England, loads.
Well, yeah, but I mean, come on. Loads? Really loads?
Well, he started him a lot. I think there was only like six players who played more times for England under Wilshere or something like that.
Is there really?
Under Hodgson, yeah. You get the picture, ladies and gentlemen, for crying out loud.
Behind
if you don't,
Wilshere?
I apologise. Less of that. Arsene Wenger. Are we ready to move on to Big Veng? He said he would prefer to return to the Champions League next season by finishing in the top four rather than winning the Europa League. Beggars can't be choosers,
I'd like
Jim.
Him to do both.
Why has he even said that?
It was put to him in a press conference.
What, like as a direct like either or question?
Would you not? I think so.
Are in a forest clearing. You can go north, west, or east.
Yeah. I just sat back in my chair and said, "I'd like to finish 17th and win the Europa League." Yeah. Stick that in your papers. Mm. That would have been great. Rio Ferdinand made a comment on the telly about the importance of the relationship between the two centre backs and the goalkeeper. I mean, obviously the great man will make this kind of comment, but it was interesting. It was in light of Liverpool and Arsenal changing keepers around and including changing them for the cup, of course, and we've seen a few teams do that, to be fair. And he said that those three players form a triangle. You need a bit of consistency. And now Arsenal have been playing a back three, which Jamie Carragher was very critical about. Yeah. Arsenal. I mean, Arsenal getting it left, right and centre, Jim, aren't they?
Certainly
from,
are.
From the pundits.
I get the rationale behind what Carragher said, which is that if you mix it up and change a formation, it actually refocuses all the players' minds and they have to actually think about what they're doing. I get that. But I also agree with Ferdinand's comments. I mean, a great example of what he's saying, this sort of triangle group of two centre-halves, if you're playing forward, back and a keeper. The thing that brought to mind for me was Liverpool. See, Liverpool aren't able to settle on this centre-back situation. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems to me that, for example, Klopp plays Mignolet sometimes and then plays Karius. It's interesting how Mignolet sort of changed his game slightly as well. He's a bit more limited now. But with the centre-backs, it's like he doesn't want to play Lovren in the Premier League. He plays him in the Champions League. But every time he plays him in the Champions League, he makes like a massive error. He doesn't play him again, but he still plays him in Europe.
I knew there was a reason I didn't play him in the league.
There's absolutely no balance there. So I think Ferdinand's right. I wouldn't have been surprised, because I saw Ferdinand say that as well. I wouldn't have been surprised if he wasn't having half an eye on Liverpool when he was saying that.
He makes an interesting point, because he said it takes a long time for that. He described it as a telepathy that back three has, or that triangle has, and that takes a long time to build. You can't get it after two or three games. It takes about 10 of those players playing together. And then you just instinctively, all three of you know what the other's going to do. And,
but you also, I mean, Marcus, you can probably think of more than I can because you're good at this sort of thing. There's been classic centre-back defensive partnerships in the Premier League era. Stuff like...
And Ferdinand was in one of them.
Ferdinand and Vidic. I mean, I was thinking of Onsho and Hippie as well, who were very good together.
You're thinking of Bruce and Palace.
There you go, there's another one. Yeah. So the Premier League is quite well known, or certainly has been in the past, for those types of sort of defensive relationships, hasn't it?
Because they've always gone a back four. Unlike in maybe some other leagues, in Italy, for example, the back three has been quite popular in the last few years. I know it's come in to England, but that's because of Conte, and among others.
And we did talk about that on the Continent this week, didn't we? We talked about how Milan switched from three at the back to four at the back, and all of a sudden Bonucci looked all over the place. He was really unprotected, and they end up losing 4-1. So it can affect defenders, very, very difficult, make it very difficult for them.
Yeah, very much. Well, Arsenal are going to have to get results against teams like Chelsea.
Absolutely.
If they're going to finish in the top four, of course.
Yeah.
Thibaut Courtois, the Chelsea keeper, said that Chelsea are in buoyant mood after thrashing Karabakh 6-0.
Absolutely. I mean, they have an advantage in that, they've had a couple of extra days left. Rest and their players are generally better.
Yeah, that's the crucial advantage,
isn't it? Arsenal need to sort of put a marker down in a game like this sooner rather than later, because it's always a hindrance. And at Stamford Bridge, Chelsea tend to have a great time, regardless of how the FA Cup final went. So Eden Hazard tends to enjoy it. And they clearly have such an inferiority complex. Part of me just wonders, just go hell for leather. Treat it as a game where you've got nothing to lose, rather than just sort of play within yourself. Arsenal look like they expect to lose those games, and that's not a mindset that
away to Stamford Bridge is such a what would you call it, like a mental block for Arsenal.
But I mean, they did go for it once at Old Trafford, famously, and they got beaten 8-2. So you don't want that to happen, because that would kibosh their confidence.
Stop at 4.
Yeah. I mean, go hell for leather until you're 5-0 down, then go really conservative.
At least you've had a go. Yeah. I mean, Drogba used to love to bully that Arsenal defence, and Diego Costa has done a little bit as well. Obviously, Drogba was more effective. If you just see how they line up against Morata.
Yeah.
Well, he's a slightly different type of forward.
Well, so the Chelsea 6-0 thing was a really important win for them because they're back in the Champions League. The fans would have been excited because they would have felt that it was a bit of a fixture for them, Champions League football. They missed out on it. They come back. And they rested a couple, didn't they, against Carabao? And you sort of thought, that's a bit of a gamble because it's your first game back in the Champions League. You really want to put a marker down. Now, of course, they're able to do that because they won very, very easily. I'll be fascinated to see how Chelsea set up because they paid Spurs a lot of respect at Wembley. They packed that midfield, didn't they? They made it very difficult for Spurs and they nicked it. I don't know. We'll see just how much Conte rates Arsenal by how he sets up against them at home this weekend.
I think at home is a different...
It is, yeah, but I mean, Arsenal are still a good team.
Yeah.
You know, so we haven't seen Chelsea play... Have we seen Chelsea play a team of that quality at home so far this season? I don't think we have. So I mean, it will be... That's a curious one to see how he sets up. He may just think, well, you know what, we're much better than Arsenal, so we'll be fine. I mean, they didn't pack it against Everton, for example, who they played at Stamford Bridge and beat fairly easily. So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, yeah. Arsenal did beat Chelsea. I know it was at the Emirates, but Arsenal did beat Chelsea fairly easily last season.
And in the FA Cup?
Yeah. I'm intrigued to see what... If Michy Batshuayi comes off the bench because he's scored a couple of goals and he makes himself an option quite often when he's been given the chance. Did very well towards the end of last season. Obviously scored the goal that won them the title. And you know, people talk about Chelsea as having a dearth of options up front, but I really rate Batshuayi.
I think he's decent. And they can always throw Diego David Luiz up there with the way he finished on the opening day.
I don't know what to make of Arsenal so far this season either, because they beat Bournemouth pretty easily. They got absolutely hammered by Liverpool. It looks like at the time of recording they're having a difficult night at home in the Europa League against Cologne, who haven't actually... I think they're bottom of the Bundesliga.
But they showed they showed a bit of character against Leicester, did Arsenal?
That could have gone either way, that game, though. Yeah. And they were beaten also by Stoke just after that. So I don't really know if we know what type of Arsenal team we've got yet.
There's been a lot of individual mistakes leading to goals, and this happens quite a lot. It's a very much part of the cycle of Arsenal that you get these errors that are then drilled out of them, and they go on a winning run for a while, and then it just happens again when the pressure comes on.
This is tailor-made for an Arsenal win here. It's like a really convincing win.
You think?
Well, Wenger's back. Good.
They're 7-4 with Bet365 to beat Chelsea on their own patch. A £10 will return £27.50, including stake.
There we are, you see, ladies and gentlemen. And Atletico Madrid seem very hopeful of signing Diego Costa, who last we heard was still in Brazil having a jolly.
He seems keen to join them, so I think from their point of view, they've got a lot to be encouraged by.
Marca in Spain are reporting that there's been a deal done or something. I'm sure I read that the other day, so who knows?
Maybe we'll see Diego back on the pitch reasonably soon, although not until the new year, of course. Luke, what is our best bet with Bet365?
It is Watford...
No.
To win.
No.
Or a draw.
He's doing it, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I want a hat trick.
He's earning the hat trick. I like that because you could have gone for a much easier option, and I respect this.
He's in the middle of the high wire.
When you're hot, Donaldson. That's what I'm saying.
He's going for an unprecedented hat trick in the hot seat.
The best bet with Bet365 is Watford to win or draw in the double chance market against Man City. This is 12-5 with Bet365, so our £50 will return £170, including stake, with all pro proceeds to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to gamble, and do gamble responsibly. And for more information, go to gamblerware.co.uk. So just to reiterate, for this bet to land and for me to get the hat trick and stay in the hot seat for another week, Watford must win or get a draw on Saturday against Man City.
Your face is like the face of a man meeting the in-laws for the first time and telling a dirty joke at dinner. No, Marcus, you're not sure about it.
Meeting the in-laws for the first time and it's going really well.
Yeah.
That's the look.
And he's like, this can only go down.
I'm really confident.
You're helping the dad chop wood.
I think Watford are going to put a marker down there. I do.
I think it's a great bet.
I'll put it out there.
I think it's a lovely one.
So tune into that. I'll look forward to the tweets either way.
Actually,
I only get tweets if it goes wrong normally.
Jim will tweet you.
Yeah. is that a game show from the 80s?
And you and you. 80s. Yeah.
You can bring that back.
Yeah.
Let's get off that.
Marcus's memories.
That'll do. Mm. All right.
Wow.
We've had enough from you today, PD.
Sorry about that. I'm very tired. About the calves.
You've made this job very hard for Marcus today, PD.
It's not even calves, it's calves.
We've got a live show tomorrow night, so I hope you've got some energy left.
I'm going to go to sleep for the next 12 hours.
Okay.
On a train.
You're going to do it like...
Is that the only way you can guarantee a good night's sleep? Like Wayne Rooney when he used to have the Hoover on.
Just handcuff him. He'll handcuff him to the circle line.
Yeah.
Just go round on that.
Does the night tube run on Thursday?
I'll tell you now, if Pete falls asleep on the train, he'll wake up in like Lille.
That's not that far away. You can get back from there.
Don't accept the challenge. You can get back from there. No, I thought you were going to say...
Hamburg.
Like Winchester. Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
Lille.
You mean Worcester. Go on.
Winchester?
Worcester.
Yeah.
It's a ramble trot, mate. Are you in the ramble? Or are you out the ramble?
Oi.
Are you angling for a move, sunshine?
Get inside this tent and start pissing out. I'm disappointed with you now as well.
You sound like the head of the La Liga people.
Jim's the only one of my good books now.
Yeah.
It's a lonely place, guys.
Well, yeah. I've got about a minute or two for you to stuff that up, Jim. thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. It's been an absolute pleasure. Say goodbye, Jim.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Petey.
Come and see us at the live show tonight at King's Place in King's Cross.
We'll see you at King's Place.
TheFootballRamble.com/news for tickets.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.